little bit different setup. I'm used to Kids Crusade, and so I'm not normally dressed like this. There's normally like a jungle setup back here, or a baseball thing, or a superhero thing, and so I'm feeling a little bit out of place. It's really quiet in here as well, so I don't have to get Brother Jordan up here to start, you know, jumping around and so forth, but I'm glad to be with you tonight, and then with the kids tomorrow in school. I'm looking forward to that. This is my seventh time preaching since Sunday, so my brain's a little foggy. I was in Milwaukee on Sunday and then kind of worked my way through the northern Ohio, and then after chapel, head back home tomorrow. So if you pray for us as we were on the road quite a bit. Say a couple things. Thank you for, I don't know who takes care of the apartment over there, so whoever cleans that and puts all the goodies in there. My kids have been here enough. They run right to the cabinet and see what's in there. So you didn't let them down, whoever that was. So I want to say thank you for that. And just thank you for just praying for our ministry up in Indiana. We were blessed last week to have your pastor and his wife with us, and he preached, and I'll just put it pretty plainly, challenged us in some areas, but he did it with the Word of God. Some guys can preach opinions, and they do a good job of it, but it's not based on the Word of God. And so our family had some long talks during the week after the services, and so that was a real blessing. And he came in and did, he preached on the topic of dress in somebody else's church with other pastors there, and he did it in such a way I've never heard it put that way and clear. And so it was a real blessing. So thank you for letting us have him for a few days, and the teenagers that were there. I trust they had a good time, but you know, they don't say a whole lot to me, so that's good. We keep ourselves separated. That was the whole conference, so we're glad about that. But and then I did bring a display. Most of you, Fairhaven's not a strange place. Well, we're strange, but to you, you're at least aware of it. And I've been blessed. This is my 20th year on staff at Fairhaven Baptist Church. And I've been at the church for 41 years. And so the Lord just allowed me to stay put. And I love the place. And we're just trying to keep on keeping on, trying to encourage people in the Lord. And so if you'd pray for us, so again, it's not we're not a stranger to you, but if you'd like to pray for us, I'd encourage you, anyone, to grab one of these. These are our quarterly papers we put out. This kind of keeps you updated. You can sign up for one. I have one that says college on there. If you're 60, don't worry about it. We're not expecting you to come to college. But if you fill it out, you can get one of these and start getting that. That'll just kind of keep you updated as far as prayer is concerned. We do have some music out there. And then we just put out, my wife and I were able to financially help somebody put this together, a couple in our church, the Mitchells, and they just put this out. And so this one is kind of a separate cost as far as the finances out there, but you'll see the pricing out there. And if you'd like to get one, I take credit card on this. The other ones are cash or check, and I can be out there. Or Karis, she knows how to run our credit card thing better than I do, and she's six, so go figure. But she's with me on this trip, so we're just glad to be with you tonight, and hopefully we can be a blessing. It's middle of the week. It was a warm day, and so I kind of got this feeling we need to kind of go up and down. Every once in a while I say a word, you got to jump up. We won't do that to you. But if you turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John tonight, John chapter number 10, and then when you find that, if you'd flip over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. John chapter 10, we'll begin there, and then Psalm 23. I do a lot of traveling, and I came across a story of, and I always tend to be in a hurry, and I came across a story of a businesswoman. She was late for a meeting, so she's driving. She's going 65 miles an hour on a street where the speed limit's 40. Cop pulls her over and says, "Ma'am, can I please see your license?" She says, "I'm sorry, officer, but I got it revoked 2 years ago for drunk driving." He gets a little upset and says, "Well, can I see the registration of your car?" She says, "Well, I stole the car and I killed the driver. He's in the trunk." "Ma'am, don't move." he says, "I'm calling for backup." So he grabs his walkie-talkie, mutters something into his walkie-talkie. 5 minutes later, half the squad pulls up. And the chief of police walks over to the woman's window. "Ma'am, can I see your license?" "Of course, officer." She smiles and pulls out her license. He looks at it. "Looks legitimate. Can I see the registration to this car?" She pulls out the glove compartment and hands it to him. "Ma'am, stand back." He bangs open the trunk of the car and flinches, but it was completely empty. And the other guy is looking, and he's like, "What's going on?" Then the woman points at him and says, "I bet that liar told you I was speeding too." So that's just some ploy. If you get pulled over, try that and see if it works. I thought that was interesting. John chapter number 10. Let's pray tonight, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, I'm very thankful for this church. I've been able to be here often, and every time I come, I'm encouraged by faithfulness. I'm thankful for a pastor and his family that are just faithful to your word. And Lord, we know that's truly the only thing that's going to change hearts and change lives. I thank you for faithful people, those who work in the kids' classes, those who work on the bus route, those who clean the buildings. Lord, none of this really happens unless you have people that just choose and decide to be faithful. And Lord, I want to come tonight and simply be a help and an encouragement and a blessing. And I pray that when we leave this place tonight, we know that your word challenged us, it helped us, it encouraged us. And that's my desire. So would you strengthen me? Would you help me? Please bless Pastor and his family, his wife, and those that are with him. As they're away, watch over them. And bless those who are ill. We've heard some pretty serious situations tonight. Lord, would your hand be upon those dear folks? Strengthen them. Draw them close to you. And bless our time tonight. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the Word of God. I love being around the people of God. I really don't have a desire to go down to baseball parks. It's not the highlight of my life. I love to be in church. The majority of my life is in church with Christians, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. And the older I get, and I'm inching to getting old right now, I feel okay, but the older I get, the more I've grown to love Jesus Christ. And when you think about the scriptures, really, it's all wrapped up. This is all about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So many people say, well, I just don't know Jesus. Well, you get to know this, you'll get to know Jesus. I try to keep it real simple. I'm a simple guy. I'm not going to wow you tonight. But as you think about the Word of God, you think about the scriptures, you'll find that Jesus has a lot of names. You read the Old Testament, you read prophets, and they'll talk about different names. And then when we come to the book of John, we find names as he calls himself. And it's kind of interesting because some of the names he calls himself, I'd have a hard time getting excited about when he says, I am the bread of life. Normally when I introduce myself, I don't call myself, I am the bread. We understand there's significance in the names that he has. He says, I am the light of the world. John 14, he tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. And he goes on to say these things. But in John chapter 10, let's look at verse number 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. Now, in our minds today, it's hard for us to connect things with the scriptures. When I think of a shepherd, it's not something that automatically brings something to my attention. It's, okay, it's a shepherd. They're sheep. But in the nation of Israel understood shepherding, they understood sheep. A few years ago, I was privileged to go to Israel. And when we were in Nazareth and Bethlehem, I was able to kind of see why the Bible so much talks about shepherds and sheep, because that's Israel. While I was there, I saw many shepherds walking around with sheep. My brother-in-law pastors just north of Mexico City. He has two churches, one in the city of Tula, and that's more of a city church, and then he has one in the city of Tequisquiac. And I have a hard time saying that, so I just say Tequis. That's just the easy way to say it. But Tequis is in kind of a country, more of a rural area. And while I was there last year, we were down there visiting. I was preaching for a couple different things that were going on. I saw shepherds down there. I saw people walking with sheep. So when you talk to people in Israel, when you talk to people in these country areas, they're going to have more of an understanding of what this is all about. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd in the same passage. He also says, I am the door. Now again, if I introduce myself, I'm not going to think of myself as something significant by saying, I am the door. But Jesus had an understanding, the people had an understanding that the door kind of gave significance of a shepherd or something laying across that sheepfold, giving his life, protecting the sheep. And so the people would understand that. And so Jesus in verse 10 again says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse number 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Now, I use all that, I say all that as a springboard, because now I'd like you to turn over to Psalm 23. This is a familiar psalm. I go to funerals of believers, and oftentimes you'll hear Psalm 23. I go to funerals of unbelievers, and oftentimes you'll read Psalm 23. You know why? Because it is an encouraging psalm. I like this psalm. Most people can quote it, and we're going to do that together in just a little bit. But what I want to do tonight is really just give you words of encouragement. I want us to leave tonight with a word of encouragement. It's easy for us to scream and yell about different things, but this psalm tonight, I trust when you leave here, you're going to look at it in a different light, but you'll walk away encouraged because we're going to talk about the Lord being our shepherd. You know the psalm. If you know it, you can quote it. If you need it like me, just to read through it so I don't mix it up, let's read all six verses together, and then we'll look at it tonight. Psalm 23, verse number 1. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a whole heap of promises just in that passage alone. We're going to look at this tonight, so as we get into it, just understand, again, for us to relate this idea of shepherd and sheep is not easy, but if you look at before verse 1, what does it say? Psalm 23, what's the next four words before we even get into the psalm? Help me out tonight. A psalm of who? A psalm of David. Now, David can write this psalm understanding shepherds and sheep, because before he became king, what was he? Help me out. Let's keep ourselves awake. You don't mind if I jump down and do some kids' crusade style information here, all right? But he was a shepherd. And even if you remember when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, Abinadab came before him, and Shammah came before him, and he looked and he said, surely these are the Lord's anointed. And God said, no, God looks on the heart, man looks on the outward. And so all seven sons passed. David was kind of just out there in the fields. What was he doing? Taking care of the sheep. And so we understand that David can write this psalm understanding shepherds and sheep. It's interesting also to notice that Moses, before he led the people of Israel, what was he? He was a shepherd. He was out on the backside of the desert. Can you imagine all your life hearing, bah, bah? That would get pretty old. My kids are bad, so sometimes I feel like a shepherd. So they understood shepherding and sheep, and so they were out there, and obviously their purpose was to take care of the sheep and protect the sheep, and they understood watchfulness. If it was me, I'd be considered a hireling. They just hire me to go out there. I see a wolf coming. Hey, feel free. Talk to you later. They're not mine. And so we understand that's the purpose. Now, when you begin Psalm 23, it begins simply with two words, the Lord. Now, I don't know the Hebrew and the Greek that well, so as I read, I study a little bit. The word Lord gives the idea, or it is the word, Jehovah. Now, a lot of people claim to be Jehovah's Witnesses. All right, and they put all the emphasis on God, and that's a wonderful thing, but they miss out on the person of Jesus Christ. They miss out on the person of the Holy Spirit. All three are one. The charismatics get it out of whack because they just focus their attention on the Holy Spirit. Listen, we have a Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are equal. All three are one. That's a blessing. But this emphasis, the Lord is Jehovah, and it gives the idea of being self-existent. You know, God doesn't need us. This is sometimes where we get ourselves out of sorts, because we feel like when God got us, he got a good deal. God did not get a good deal when he got me. I'm amazed sometimes at God's grace and God's mercy. We run 23 buses every Sunday morning for Sunday school. It used to be about 30, 35 buses we used to run. And we pick up families, we pick up people, we pick up mentally handicapped, we pick up all sorts of people. And sometimes I scratch my head and I sit back and I say, why did God choose to draw the Ramus family? A family out of so many that have come, he drew us all out and says, I want to do something with them. Wow. What a thrill. And yet so often, you know, now I've been in church 41 years and my tendency is to think, well, you know, I'm really something. Yeah, I work with teenagers, I work at Bible college, I get to preach. I mean, God's really got a good deal with me. You know, a lot of people get out of whack with that. It's called pride, and we really fall astray when it comes to those type of things. Listen, God doesn't need us. But we sure need him. If there's anything I talk to young people, especially guys that come to Bible college, and they come with zeal, and they come with fire, and they say, I'm just going to shake the world for God. I like the zeal, and I like the ambition, but I tell you what, I just stressed them, you need God. You have to have God. You're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. You're going to get worn out. You must be dependent on God. But he doesn't need us. He's the self-existent one. Can we look at four things I'd like to submit to you tonight about the Lord being our shepherd? Number one, the Lord, this self-existent one, is a personal shepherd. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I've known Brother Slee a long time. I like him. He probably doesn't like me, but that's okay. If I were to go out to the parking lot tonight and you see his car there, and I go in there, I'm like, you know what? I don't really like his car too much. And I take a knife and I start slicing up the upholstery in the car and I start slitting the tires, start smashing windows. It would kind of bother you probably. But it would really bother him. Why? It's his car. You see, life becomes more real when things are personal. It does not say the Lord is a shepherd. It doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if we can grab a hold of that tonight, it could change us. It could affect us because I tell you what, I like being around kids. Last week we had, some 130 teenagers at our church. The week before I ran a little kids, activity at our church, about 65 kids there. And if any of those teenagers last week, any of those kids would have come up and said, hey, Brother Ramos, could you give me $50? I'd say something like this. I like you, but no. Now, my little six-year-old daughter's here tonight, and if she comes and she kind of bats those little eyes, the little chocolate chip eyes that she has, and she kind of just looks at me and kind of gives me a little wink or a little kiss, we call them items. If she gives me a little item, she says, Daddy, would you give me $50? I sure would think about it. If I didn't have it, I'd steal it from somebody to give it to her. You know why the difference is? She's my daughter. You follow? And see, too often as Christians, we live this life as, oh yeah, the Lord's a shepherd, and I like Psalm 23, but when he becomes yours, it makes all the difference in the world. I like people. I like ladies, but man, there's one lady I really like. She's my wife. Don't mess with her. Don't look at her. I'm going to beat you down. You know why? She's mine. And my girls are important to me. And I love traveling. My daughter, and we've had a date every day this week. I don't do that with any other girls. You'd say, you're nuts. The difference is she's mine. And this self-existent one, if you can get a little excited, know we're kind of northerners, maybe you consider yourself a southern, we can get excited once in a while and say, he's mine. This church is yours, and when the church becomes yours, it's just not Pastor Burks, or not just the deacons, or Brother Solis, or those that are in positions. When it becomes yours, you'll go and talk to people about it. People say, Brother Ramos, the hardest thing we have to deal with is trying to get people to go out door knocking. I don't know what it's like here. It's not really my business. But the hardest thing to do is get people to go door knocking. And I often say, well, you get people to come on Sunday mornings. Yes. What about Sunday nights? They say, well, about half. What about midweek? About a quarter. Well, if you're not going to come to church, you're probably not going to go door knocking. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you can't get excited about going to the house of God, you're probably not getting excited to say, hey, would you come to our church? I only go once a week. No, you see, when this church becomes yours, it makes all the difference in the world. I don't see the people that were here cleaning today. They might be here. I might be losing them in the mix. But they were in here vacuuming and taking out the garbage. That's not fun. But when it becomes yours, you're okay with it. And the Lord is my shepherd. That's a wonderful thing. Can we move on? Number two. See if I can get up these stairs. Oh, I'm getting too old. The Lord is not only a personal shepherd. He is a providing shepherd. What does it say again in verse number one? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David says this in another psalm, Psalm 37, verse 25. It says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now I want to make a statement to you tonight, and it's kind of a, maybe, I don't want to come across as rude, but here's the statement. If you are not being provided for, you may want to see what shepherd you have. There's a lot of people reaching for things of this world. They're not satisfied with the provisions that the shepherd has given to us. The psalmist says, he's mine, he's personal, but he's also providing. He's going to take care of our needs. He's going to satisfy us. And why are we not as Christians satisfied? Now, I'm supposed to be encouraging. Sorry, I'm going to back off. Put on the brakes. But man, I preach this to my son. He's 15, and he's going to be 16 soon. And sometimes I see those desires in him. What's out there? What am I missing out there in the world? And I say, no. Stay within the realm of Christianity. Stay in the fold. Don't go out. But what am I missing out there? And I say, listen, if you're not satisfied with God and you're looking for something else, you better check out who your shepherd is. Because David said, he's mine. I shall not want. I have been young, and I remember growing up in our church watching people. And there'd be some people just say, man, God is so good. And they'd be out of work, and God would provide for them, and they would be giving more. And I'd sit there, and I'd observe that as a young person. Now I get to see kind of on the other side. I get to see people young, and I'm watching, and I can kind of say this in a sense. I have been young, and now I'm getting old, and I've never seen those that are living for God wondering where it's going to come from. About 13 years ago, God began to deal with my heart about evangelism. I'm just going to be honest with you. Everything I had heard about evangelists was negative. So why would I want to do something like that? And I remember going to our pastor, and he said something to me like this. He says, now, Eric, you're doing evangelism. We're going to cut your pay about 70%. This is kind of the short version of the story. We're going to cut 70% of your pay. He says, you can't preach very well, which is true. He said, you can't preach very well. You're going to have a really hard time getting meetings, and you're going to struggle financially. I'm like, oh, thanks for the encouragement. And I remember after that meeting, I went home. I said, Lord, number one, I didn't really want to be an evangelist. I was very content doing the things that I was doing. And so, Lord, you've asked me to do this. I believe it's your will. I'm going to do it. But I don't want to struggle. I don't want to have to pray our finances in. And I don't want to just have meetings to have meetings. I want to have meetings that have substance. And I just want it to be you. You know, I was 13 years ago, and I was a little anxious, but I just kind of dumped it on the Lord 13 years ago. And you know what? I'm not bragging. I have not struggled one time. Almost every year, and I'm being serious, almost every year my expenses are more than my income. And we're doing great. You know why? Because he's my provider. You know, I know sometimes we got to kind of get out of this, yeah, he's my shepherd, wonderful. But man, can you just put yourself at the brook Cherith for a little bit? When Elijah's sitting there and he's running from Ahab and Jezebel, and he's sitting there, and I don't know how big of an appetite he had, but he got hungry, I'm sure, and he's sitting there, and God says, go hide yourself by the brook. And I can just picture he's hungry, and about that time, these ravens start coming over that brook and dropping a meat. Do you think he got excited about that? He learned something by the brook in private that God's going to provide for him, and therefore gave him confidence to go out in public for God to do something special. Dads, we got to teach our kids that God will provide. If we're always poor mouthed and saying, well, you know, I tithe, and what are our kids going to do? And when I pray and God never answers our prayer, do you think my kids are going to pray? Absolutely not. God is a provider. He's personal, but he's a providing shepherd. That's a wonderful thing. We can get excited about that, can't we? Now, I know you're going to go home tonight, and you're going to be looking for that check in the mail. Probably won't be there, but God will provide. Number three, quickly, he's not only a providing shepherd, a personal shepherd, he is a purposeful shepherd. What do you mean by this, you say, Brother Amos? I'm glad you asked. He has a plan and a direction for where he's taking the sheep. What does it say in our text? He maketh me to lie down. Now, your pastor last week taught on entertainment. And in the midst of teaching on entertainment, he taught about rest. I don't like to rest. I go, 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 go. I'll be in 25 states this summer in 2 weeks, driving through all of them. And I think, who am I going to miss out? What am I going to, if I don't? But he stressed the idea of rest. And you know what our shepherd does? What does it say in our text? He maketh me to lie down. The shepherd has a purpose. He understands that the sheep are going to get weary. They're going to struggle. And there's a time where he's rest. And I tell you what, I've looked at this in my life. I've watched people and I see people that say, man, I want to get close to God. I want to get close to my shepherd. And sometimes God gives them cancer. And I've had the thought, well, God, I want to be close to you, but I don't want to go through that. And sometimes God just has to slow us down. He has to stop us and say, you know what? I'm going to make you lie down. You know why? He has a purpose. A few years ago, we took some teens to West Virginia to go whitewater rafting. And if you haven't done that, you should try it. It's a lot of fun. But there's a little bit of anxiety there if you haven't done it before. And you're kind of looking. They start you in the calm waters and all is well. And like jump out, float down the water. But then you start seeing these rapids and it's a little bit nerve-wracking. Well, this was the second time I'd gone. So I wasn't super, you know, confident. So there's seven of us from our church in the raft. I look back at our guide and he's just kind of sitting there like, he's kind of got that sweat coming down his brow. And I'm thinking, something doesn't look right. And I said, hey, my man, how you doing? How many times you been down this river? He said, twice. About that time, I'm looking at him, and he doesn't look super confident. He looks more scared than I am. Which what that did to me was cause me to be a little nervous. You kind of expect your guide to know where to go, and as we're hitting the rapids, hey, we need to hit this side of the river. There's, you know, one of those, I forget what they call them. I call them sinkholes. It's not a sinkhole. You know what I'm talking about, where it just spins and you get caught up in there. And when he's sitting there nervous, it made me nervous. It made my wife nervous. It made the others with us. You know why? Because our guide didn't have confidence. Can I encourage you tonight? God leads us. He doesn't drag us. The shepherd leads us carefully, and he knows where we're to go. I drive a lot. I don't like to drive in big cities. I've been through Boston. Don't go to Boston. I've been to New York City. Don't go to New York City. I've been to Chicago. Stay out of Chicago. Because when you get into those cities, it doesn't make sense. You're there and you're just inching along and inching along. You're like, who designed the stupidity of these roads? I mean, what school did they go to? But I find it interesting. As you're there complaining, you get an airplane and you fly over Chicago. You fly over LA. You fly over New York City. There's design and there's order. And as you look down from above, it all makes sense. And you take that illustration because so often we get into a rat race in our homes. It's go, 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 here, here. And nothing really seems, and you're like, God, how can you make my life so confusing? You know, he's up above, and he sees us all clearly. And he's guiding us. He's leading us. I often think of Lot as he had to be drug out of the city of Sodom. That's not what our shepherd wants to do. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to be with us and show us the way. It's a wonderful thing. You can be excited about that. I love when my little daughter, Karis, just kind of comes up, leans up against me, and slides her hand up into mine, and we just walk together. And when we're in big places, she even feels a little more secure for some reason, because Dad's there. And when I take her places, I have a purpose. It could be I just want to spend time with her. Who knows? But as a dad, I have a purpose. And listen, let me encourage you. I don't know the situations you're in. You might say, I just don't know what to do. I'm just not sure where to go. God is in control. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. We're always trying to restore ourselves. but the shepherd does it. Can I move on and give you the last thing? The Lord is a personal shepherd. He is a providing shepherd. He is a purposeful shepherd. And lastly, he is a protecting shepherd. Now, I like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, help me out, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Now, here's the problem with us as sheep. I don't like to be called a sheep, but Isaiah tells us we are. All we have gone astray. When you go to the airport and you take your bags and you've carefully packed them and you've got everything just so, and then you go through that line and they pull your bag off and open it up and things are falling out and they pretty much repack, you're like, why did I even pack? I should have just brought my stuff here and let them pack. The focus at airports is security. And frankly, we get annoyed at it. I mean, you got to stand there and do this and that x-ray machine, and sometimes they'll pull you out of line and they have to search you, and then they're checking your bags, and then the first thing they do when you get on the airplane, put your seatbelt on, and they're going through all these safety things. Most people are sleeping by then. And here's the point. We get so annoyed at security. I don't know about you. I don't like seatbelts. I just don't. Not one amen, but I get lots of tickets for seatbelts, so I've learned to just put it on. But it's like, you know, it's so restrictive. The last ticket I got, I had the seatbelt on, but it was under my arm. I'm like, I got the thing on at least. I'm improving. And we get so annoyed at, you know, border security, and there's all this, you know, stuff about the wall and back and forth in politics. But here's the point. Our shepherd wants to protect us. And this is our problem. When he comes to protect us and bind us, if I can use that term, it sounds negative, but it's a good thing. We kind of push him away. We stiff arm him. Come on, I just want a little bit of liberty. I mean, I'm under grace after all. Oh, read Matthew 5 and see how Jesus talks about the law. He's a lot stiffer on the law than Moses was. And we buck up against that. And sometimes I get, Brother Slee, I get so frustrated because I tell my kids, hey, do this. It is for your good. And they look at me almost as if to say, You are trying to make my life miserable. And all I'm doing with my kids is trying to make life good for them. But they don't see it that way. They're restricted. They're bound. It's kind of like when you go canoeing. You put those big life vests and you're like, how do I even paddle? And you got that thing tightened up and you can't breathe and your head's swelling. All for the purpose of safety. And you want to take the thing off. But no, it's protection. And it's almost the same way it is. Pastor comes and says, you know, we do this. We have standards. We have beliefs. And it's based on the scriptures. We say, no, I just want to be a little bit looser. You know what we're doing? We're bucking up against safety. Let's not do that. Let's be careful. And that's why the whole last week when your pastor and others preached, I couldn't say, well, that's just his prerogative. You know what he's trying to do is shore up some things. Lord willing, I'm going to run a half marathon in August. I don't run with my shoes untied. Amen. It's not effective. I need to lace up. You follow? And it's the same way in the Christian life. Sometimes like, man, I can be a little loose. I can just hang out. No, we're going to not run well. We're not going to run effectively. The Lord is a protecting shepherd. Remember Peter sitting in prison? Sleeping. And I can just imagine he's there. James had been killed not long before that. He probably thought, my life's over. Somewhere in that evening, angel taps him on the shoulder. This is my version. Hey, Peter, I'm not done with you yet. Let's go. Chains fall off. He walks away free. And they find him the next day where? Preaching. That's fun. Paul and Silas in prison. They might have had bad voices. That's why I don't sing out, sing loud. But they're in prison. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. the prisoners heard them, and all of a sudden the prison started shaking. We know the stories. But you know what? God says, I'll protect you. When it's time, you come home. But right now, I'm in control of the situation. He is our protector. And we can go through stories in the scriptures, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so on. But I'd like to close with this simple illustration. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. There was a man, he was an actor, and he would do Shakespearean plays and so forth, and kind of do a one-man presentation. He would go all over, and at the end of his performance, he would have a dramatic reading of Psalm 23. Each night, without exception, as he began his recital, "The Lord is my shepherd," the crowd would listen attentively. And then at the conclusion of the psalm, they would rise in thunderous applause and appreciation of his ability to bring the verse to life. But one night, just before the actor got up, a young man from the audience spoke up. He said, "Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite Psalm 23? The man was kind of taken back by this request. But he allowed the young man to come forward and stand front and center and quote Psalm 23. He knew that the ability of this unskilled youth would be no match for his own. And then the young man began. With a soft voice, he began to recite the words of the psalm. When he was finished, there was no applause, no standing ovation, as the other nights. All that could be heard in that auditorium that night was the sound of weeping. The audience had been so moved by the young man's recital that every eye was filled with tears that night. Obviously, that amazed the man that was the actor. And he just couldn't believe. He says, "Young man, I don't understand. I have been performing Psalm 23 for years. I have a lifetime of experience and training, but I've never been able to move an audience as you have tonight. Tell me, sir, what is your secret?" And the young man humbly replied, "Well, sir, you know the psalm. I know the shepherd." And when I came across that, just encouraged me. Because again, you go to these funerals of unsaved people and Psalm 23 is talked about, and like, oh. But they miss out. Because it's nice to know the psalm. But it's much more important and much better to know the shepherd. If you're a Christian knight, he's a personal shepherd. He's mine. He provides. We like verses like, "My God shall supply all your need." Look over at the Websters here. We're going to go out to eat tonight. I'm going to get like one of each because he's paying. But when Reba and, I didn't know it was Robert till the last week, but we'll call him Coy. When they were young and you go to the restaurants, who did they give the bill to? You know, I found that I go to restaurants and we're sitting there, my wife and four kids, and they always give the bill to me. I'm like, what is up? That is so not fair. I mean, why don't they give it to one of my children? I mean, in this day of, you know, gender equality, what, give it to my wife. I'm okay with that. But no, it's always me. I mean, even in our equal rights world, there's an understanding in restaurants that the father's got it taken care of, or the man takes care of it. Can I encourage you tonight, when you're struggling financially, you can say, "Lord, you're my father. I'm just going to assume you got it taken care of. I shall not want." He's the provider. And he has a purpose. Right now, in your mind, your mind's spinning. You're like, "I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. I don't know some of you. I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. Should I get married? Why should I get married?" And you have all these questions going on in your mind. You know, can I just tell you, rely on your father. We had a young lady, she's graduating from college in just a couple days. And I said, hey, what are you going to do after college? And she starts crying. I'm like, oh, wrong question. Wrong question. And she's just in a tizzy right now because she, you know, some of her friends are going to teach elsewhere. And she doesn't know if she's got this, you know, teaching position. And she's all worried, like, I don't know. And I said, hold on, stop. Stop. The beauty of being a young lady still living at home is all the pressure is on Daddy. And I think if you said, "Dad, could we go together and look at that school and pray about it together?" It's just like if a young man comes and says, hey, she can just say, "Go see Dad, Dad, Dad. all the pressure's on Dad. You know why? Because he's going to take care of us. He's not wanting us to get into problems and bad situations. He's a wonderful father. He's a wonderful shepherd. That's a blessing. And he protects us. I drive and drive and drive and drive, and I'll be honest, sometimes I'm dozing, and God protects. He takes care of us. I don't be foolish about it, but he takes care of us. When you serve him, he's going to take care of you. And all tonight I want to do is just encourage you to realize, let's not just know the psalm. Let's really get to understand the shepherd. But aren't we prone to wander? There's some green tufts of grass out there that look way sweeter and way more pleasant. And Cazadale Baptist, they're just a little stiff. And the grass here is a little brown and it's a little dry. No. The Lord's got you here. Don't wander. Oh, I'm prone to wander, Lord. I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Listen, we got to stay with the shepherd. And there's those times, and I've heard all sorts of illustrations about shepherds, but he uses that little crook in the staff, and we get out of whack sometimes. And what does he do? He pulls us back into the fold. Let's thank him, not push him away for that. That's our shepherd tonight. Hopefully this can be a blessing and encouragement to you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd